Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm your host, Monique Davis-Dotson, and I have a very special guest with me today. Her name is Jen Reed. She is a proud mother of three kids, an entrepreneur. She has recently enrolled back in school to finish a passion of hers and earning her psychology degree. And she has a lot of wisdom, and I wanted her to share those things with us today. So I want to welcome Jen Reed to the show.
Hello, hello everyone. Thank you, Monique, for having me.
Well, I truly appreciate you stopping by and doing this podcast interview with me. Absolutely. It's an honor to have you with me, because I say with great wisdom that being a mom, especially as we just celebrated Mother's Day recently, there are so many things that we can share with other mothers. And one of the reasons I asked you to do the show is because you're a proud mother of three. Yes. You have a son named Corey, and Corey's in college. And
he is. He actually just completed his first year at Lone Star College.
Wow.
So congrats to my son.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing, because he's an actor.
He's
on his way to be a Hollywood star, in my opinion, and Broadway star, because yes, he's heavily involved, I knew, in high school in theater arts.
And he still is. He's actually pursuing his passion in theater arts, and he's actually has a production coming up this weekend.
Oh, wow.
In the Sugarland area. They're doing the high school version of Chicago.
Wow. And then you have two daughters who are twins, and that's how our connection began, because our girls, my youngest, India, went to elementary school with your two daughters, right? Yes. Jaleesa and Jordan.
Yes.
Yes. And so we met through them being in class together. What grade was that?
First grade.
Like first grade. Oh my gosh. Look at us now with almost eighth graders
in
a couple weeks, right? And so our connection began there. Mm-hmm. We met and we just hit it off, and you became my little sister, and that was it. You know, it was just a genuine connectivity. The reason, like I said, I wanted to get some of your wisdom about being a mother of twin girls, but really miracle twin girls.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because, you know.
Yes, that is definitely a story.
Yeah.
So my baby girls are definitely miracle babies. They're monozygote identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
And so, meaning they were in the same sac, and it was a very difficult pregnancy. So I was on bed rest in the hospital on bed rest for at 5 months. And they came early. They still came early at 6.5 months.
Wow.
Yes.
So why did they put you on bed rest?
Well, the way that they were in separate, I mean, they were not in separate sacks.
Right.
They were in the same sack. So as they would grow, one, they wanted to make sure that they did not form like the twins that are conjoined.
The conjoined. They didn't want that to happen.
They didn't want that to happen.
Okay.
So once one flipped and they were head to feet, they were, that was a good sign.
Okay.
The second thing was enough fluid being in the sack.
In the same,
And being in, with them being in the same sack. And then what eventually made them come early is I have one that was extremely active, and she got the umbilical cord tied around her neck and tangled up, so neither one of them were getting oxygen.
Wow.
Exactly. So that was an emergency C-section.
Okay.
And one of them had to go to Texas Children because she had a heart defect. So that was Miss Jaleesa.
Wow.
And they tried to tell me that she was not going to make it. And I knew that God had something else totally better. He was not going to bring my babies here, you know, just to take them away. So I was like, no, no, no. You know, I know that's a lie.
Wow.
So with all the prayers and the beliefs and just being by her side, she stayed in Texas Children for 4 months.
Mm.
She had heart surgery, and she's our little boss now. She runs the house.
Wow. And so how old was she when she had to have the heart surgery? just days, or
no,
did it go into months?
No, it had to go into months. Okay. So she's had to stay in the hospital, in the NICU.
Right.
During that time, I mean, it was, I couldn't hold her. She was in the incubator.
Was she the one with the cord around her neck?
She was the one with
the
cord.
She was the one.
Yes.
Okay. She was the active baby.
She was the active baby.
Okay.
So, and she was so small. She was like 2 pounds
oh
and
my gosh.
5 ounces. And they were trying to say that she was too small to do open heart surgery.
Wow.
And it was just back and forth. They wanted her to get a little bit bigger, but that she couldn't really eat
mm-hmm.
because of the part of her heart that was defected. The chamber, that chamber was affecting her lower, her abdomen as well.
Oh my Jesus.
So yes, that was a lot. So it was getting one thing better before she could get strong enough to have the surgery.
Right.
And they were able to go in on her left side, collapse her left lung, and go in that way to fix her heart. And then she had to stay and grow and get healthy and big and strong. And
well, all glory be to God.
Absolutely.
Number one.
Absolutely.
But as a mom, because
mm-hmm.
you are home now with Jordan.
With Jordan, yes.
But Jaleesa is in the NIC
yes.
unit.
Yes.
So you're in between trying to heal from a C-section.
Uh-huh.
That's surgery in itself.
Absolutely.
Hormones, you know, normal mom's hormones going crazy. But
yes.
on a whole nother level of lack of sleep with one baby,
mm-hmm.
lack of sleep with another one, going through all of those different complications.
Absolutely.
How did you do it?
Lots of prayer.
Lots of prayer.
Lots of prayer and actually just coming outside of the body. Because if I would have thought about how tired I was, the
mm-hmm.
lack of sleep, what was hurting.
Right.
What didn't feel good or get emotionally drained or sad about the situation, I felt like that was me giving up on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pray and ask, you know, for all of my angels to come down
mm-hmm.
and to carry me through this and to be strong for my daughters, because I knew that nobody else, they could feel my strength.
Your strength.
Every time.
And then not
there,
to mention Corey at this time is a little tight.
Yes. He was in first grade.
First grade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but God.
But God.
But God, right?
But God. And he was awesome through this.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
You know, being a big brother, he was already like, I'm the protector.
Right.
You know, he would talk to them and read to them and, you know, just go to the hospital and when he could and make them little, you know, hearts and crosses and tell them
oh,
Jesus loved them
yeah.
and, you know, hang all of those things
yeah.
up around their little bed. So,
and isn't that something, because as a older brother,
mm-hmm.
but then that mother and son bond, that's like, it's really real.
Absolutely.
And so he probably knew at like a young age too, just having that intuition of, okay, I got to be there for my mom and, you know,
exactly.
and my sisters to take all of that in.
Exactly.
Because the whole family is going through that. Because even your husband at the time, well,
yes.
y'all still married, but separated. We'll get to that.
Yes.
But just going through that as a family
mm-hmm.
had to be, you know, so difficult
oh,
and challenging.
It was for everybody.
For everybody.
For everybody.
And you're still trying to hold up. As the mom.
Exactly. Hold up and hold everything together.
Yeah, without falling apart. So when Jaleesa was released.
Yes.
Tell me about that experience for you.
That was more, it was so much excitement,
mm-hmm.
but then it was just a release
mm-hmm.
and draining.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, okay, my baby is home. Both of them are home. But getting her on the same schedule as her sister,
right?
That was something totally different,
right.
you know, different and
right.
difficult. We had a little home schedule going on with Jordan,
yeah.
But Jaleesa had a schedule from the hospital,
right?
So it was very difficult getting
because it's
them,
like starting all over again.
It was starting all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Even getting them introduced, like, okay, how we do this? Do we put them in separate beds?
Right.
Okay, now we're going to try to breastfeed. How this is going to work?
Now, did she take to it because she had to? Yeah, I was going to say she's on the bottle.
Yeah, so you're breastfeeding one.
Yeah.
And you want the other one, and she just don't know, like, what is this? What am I doing? You know, I need a bottle. So, you know, now the husband have to get involved because I want them on the same eating schedule.
Right.
So you're pumping enough for, you know, Phil to feed Jaleesa, and then I'm trying to breastfeed the other one, and now she's looking like, well, I want a bottle. So
like I'm tired of this. I want what she has.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and so, and it was funny because it was like, if anyone else took care of them and tried to feed them, someone always got fed twice. It was like,
oh my Lord.
Which one is on what?
Which one is what?
Yeah, so it was, okay, so now we have to go to bottle.
Yeah.
You know, so it was those little minor adjustments that were major.
I was going to say, that's major.
Yeah.
Nothing minor it was, about that.
You would think, okay, feeding schedule.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bam, you have help. It's two of you. No. It still was difficult.
I'm sure.
And getting on a schedule, okay, deciding to not being able to breastfeed both, moving Jordan now because, to the bottle.
And, and that's hard for a mom sometimes because... Yes. You know, if you're blessed, whichever way, you know, being a mother, you bond with your kids, but having to feed them from the breast, there's a bond there.
Absolutely.
Because you weren't able to do that with Jaleesa, could you tell I see you guys and that y'all have like the best mother-daughter relationship, you know? But could you see in the beginning where there was a bond with Jordan just because you could, and then Jaleesa's coming in, what, 4 months?
4 months later.
Later.
Exactly. And she's
how
not,
did you
no,
adjust to that?
It was kind of sad because, one, I could always tell which one, you know, they were before feeding or during feeding. So, but she never wanted me to really feed her. Because even with the bottle, she couldn't get comfortable. It was like, she was so used to
it. And those nurses, you know, you got the smell, you got the touch, you have the all the things.
Absolutely.
That she was, you know, adjusted to.
Exactly.
And she has to readjust to you.
Exactly.
So, and like you're saying, well, as a mom, she's not, you know, there's something going on here.
Uh-huh.
How did you... overcome that? You just, as a mom, you know, emotionally.
I had to spend more time with her outside of feedings.
Okay.
And it was good because I had my parents who ended up moving in with us probably for like 8 months.
Wow. Okay.
To help out. And it was easier for my dad or my mom to feed Jaleesa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when it came to playtime, it was like a switch off.
Okay.
So I didn't, at first it was a little saddening for me. And then after that, it was like, at least I have somebody to help her.
Yeah.
And she's bonding with.
Yeah.
And she became like Big Mama's baby. You know, like she just, that was her thing.
Yeah.
And it was fine. And you look up at 2 o'clock in the morning and your mom is in the nursery feeding a baby for you, you know, or with you and changing her and then taking off and... You know, now I have the other one, and she has.
When did you notice, or when did the change happen where it's like, I just want my mom?
Oh, my gosh.
Can you recall?
I felt like that, I think, from day one.
From day one?
From day one when I found out I was pregnant with twins.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I found out they were girls. Because I was raised with boys. So
yeah.
I knew right then, like, I need my mom.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, first thing we're going to talk about is hair. You know what I'm going to do? So it was good to have my mom there at the beginning. Really, to have a close-knit family and have, you know, my brothers, have my dad, have everyone really pulled in.
Right.
And, you know, I think the girls brought families together.
Oh, most definitely. Because you don't always know the why in the beginning or even understand it. But as God keeps revealing a little bit at a time to us.
Absolutely.
We understand that maybe we were supposed to be together in this house for this certain time, or maybe it was supposed to be this way, or who did I need to meet along the way, or who did God need me to meet along the way?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Maybe he needed me to have a connection of we got to strengthen this faith. You know what I'm saying? We need some more intimate time together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that will definitely do it. Because you have to call on somebody. Amen. Those nights you can't sleep, those nights that you worry.
So you have a good, obviously a good relationship with your parents, and especially your mom, to just say, here I come.
They did. My parents shut it down. They closed their house down. They would only go back and forth on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be right back by Monday morning to help out.
Wow.
And so that is just...
What a blessing.
Very much so.
What a blessing.
Very much so.
And now they are just as healthy as ever and active and...
Sports and healthy and tall, taller than
they me. They are taller than you.
Yes.
India's almost catching me. Every day she's doing a little measurement thing. You know, it's like a pride, like a seal of honor. Like
being
taller than your mom. And you know,
we get this all the time. I can't be in the kitchen and here she come, you know.
Yeah, man. Let me size you up today.
Yeah, size you up. My mom, you're short, you know that. I'm like, girl, get away from me.
Well, they are beautiful girls, and you're doing a great job with all of your kids. Can you tell us something about just being a mom of twins? Are they similar? Are they opposite?
No, and no.
Really? Yeah. A lot of times people see twins and they think that, okay, we know they're close. They just think, oh, they're just alike. No, they're individual little beings with different likes. And...
Yes.
Okay, so Jordan's the artsy one.
She's my artsy one. She can draw really well.
Mm-hmm.
She is into theater arts like her brother.
Oh, okay.
But on the other end, she likes the tech side of it, in the costumes and the dramatic makeup and hair.
She likes the behind the scenes.
Yes. Jaleesa is my fire.
She's like, I had to fight for my life.
Now that I'm here.
Now that I'm here, everybody gonna know.
Everybody gonna know. She is the fighter. She wants to debate. She wants to be an attorney.
Oh,
so she is in, everything is a solution. Yeah. Come on, we're gonna battle this out.
It's important to be there for our girls and just,
absolutely,
you know, encourage them to be strong and, you know, use every gift that God has given them.
Absolutely.
And when you say miracle babies, I mean, they are truly a miracle.
They are.
I'm so happy that they have just blossomed and grown and just as grown and beautiful as ever. So
thank you.
Congratulations to that.
Thank
and that's a testimony. And the reason I wanted to touch on that as well is because there's a mom who might be out there listening who may be in the same situation, and the doctors are saying, hey, this child is not going to make it. And maybe they have twins or maybe they don't. But because, like you said, you're like, no, I'm not believing that. I'm going to believe in something different. Mm-hmm. And the guy that I serve says, I just believe that he's not going to do this
Absolutely.
To me today. Now, that doesn't always work out that way.
Absolutely.
Because God's will be done.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to encourage people to have hope and to have faith and to accept his will, because it had to be difficult, I would say, even like, well, Lord, why this happened to this baby?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I remember my prayer the day that she went into surgery, because it was such a difficult surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they have to give you all the things that are going to go wrong.
Of course.
Or could go wrong.
Of course.
And so I just remember praying and, you know, stop listening to the doctors at a certain point and was like, no.
Because they're doing their job.
They have to be honest
with you and tell you, hey, this is what's going on. They
Absolutely.
Can't sugarcoat anything. So we
and
understand
thank
that.
Them for that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
actually, they were saying that they couldn't do it.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so to come back and say, okay, we can, but this is how we can do it. And it's more risky than the first, you know, to give that consent and then to have that faith and to believe.
Because you're saying, okay, you already told me what you couldn't do. You're saying this might be possible. And I know everything that can happen.
Exactly.
And this baby, it's a possibility that she may not come out of this.
Exactly.
But you know what? I'm a walk by faith and not by sight.
Absolutely. And I just remember during my prayer and meditation, I just got so much peace.
That no matter what the decision,
she was going to be okay.
You had to try. And,
yeah, you had to try. She's going to be okay.
No matter what.
She could have been, you know, in a wheelchair the rest of her life, or I could have had to take care of her in other ways the rest of her life, but it was going to
be okay. You got to have peace. And so, as you know, listeners, if you are going through whatever struggle, especially, you know, being a mom who's pregnant, and you hear something that's going against all the things that you would want to hear that's positive in regards to the health of your child, at some point, you let go, you let God.
That's right.
And it does sound easier said than done, mm-hmm. as we've heard. But for your own peace, and for your own rest, because some things will always be outside of our control.
Yes.
And if you really have the faith to walk by faith and not by sight, God's will be done.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know who in the listening audience that needed to receive that. Jen is a testimony of what faith can do either way, but being at peace with it.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what we want to relay to somebody. So I want to touch base on, you know, I know that you were recently separated.
Yes.
Because we're going to the relationship side of it all.
Yeah.
Recently separated, being married 15 years. Mm-hmm. Both of you going through that time of, you know, you being on bed rest. Back and forth to hospitals.
Yes.
Your husband, he's working, and yeah. I think what getting a master's at the same
time. Getting his master's.
So he's not really 100% present. I'm going to say because he's busy. He's scheduled. You know, he got to eat. He got to eat. We understand. You got to work.
Bills got to get paid.
Absolutely. But not being present in all of it.
Yes.
Did you feel alone?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did
you have resentment?
Hatred.
Just hatred. Yeah. Yes. Just down to the degree.
I mean, just resentment. You know, you just feel alone. You feel lonely. You felt, you know, a little bit of depression.
Yeah.
You just felt angry and had some hatred there. A little bit of jealousy.
Because he's doing the things that were.
Exactly.
You know.
His life didn't have to stop.
But yours did.
Exactly. And you think, okay, everyone's home, they're fine, I'm gonna jump back into my life. Negative.
Yeah. Well, as a mom, that's a great sacrifice. And I, you know, again, moms do it all the time. We work, we take care of kids, we do all these different things. But just to say that you've had these babies, twins, who you're going through all of this, it's an emotional toll. And I don't really think sometimes, and not all men, I'm not going to say everybody, but I don't think that they totally understand the emotional components that go into being a mom.
Absolutely.
You never rest.
Never.
Your mind and your heart is on autopilot. For the rest of your life. You think about stuff that nobody could ever think about. You know what I'm saying? Did he know? Could he sense that?
Of course you can sense. You know, when you're in a relationship, you can sense, you know, this person have a wall up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he just got in from work and he's excited and he wants, you know, the night to go a certain way. And I'm like, I am exhausted.
Yeah.
I haven't had any sleep. I haven't had a shower today. Yeah. You know, I, you know, still have to do X, Y, Z for tomorrow. And that's the furthest thing from your mind. So you start to split and the separation start to happen.
The emotional separation.
Exactly.
And the connectivity that probably was once there is starting to dissipate.
Absolutely.
And you know it.
Exactly.
Immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, but as women, we just keep pressing. Did he ever get to the place of what's wrong? Did he ask or was he too busy to just...
Too busy at first.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's never what, you know, let me ask him, let's see. It's an argument. You know, unfortunately.
Well, I'm thinking,
an argument has to happen.
So now the communication has broken down.
Exactly.
Because, and your frustration, I'm going to say, you couldn't have been the best deliverer of information.
Of course.
Because you're feeling some kind of way about it.
You're in your feels. You've been in your feels for, you know, a while now.
Yeah.
Oh, now you want to see something is wrong, you know. Yeah. So the deliverance and the way that I responded wasn't the best.
Do you think it was hard for him to see his babies go through that kind of stress and as infants, and he didn't know how to deal with it?
Absolutely. He didn't know how to deal with that. He didn't know how to completely help and deal with me and my emotional state and what I was going through. But he still have to be the man, and he still have to, you know, make the money. So. Yeah. It was difficult for both of us.
Yeah.
You know, very difficult. And I wish I knew then.
What you know now.
What I know now.
Yeah.
You know, that was the time where we should have asked for help.
So you guys, like I said, married 15 years, and you seem to have made it through that period. Now, I say seem, and the reason I say that is because, you know, when I met you, it's my husband, my kids. And later, as we developed our relationship of trust and bonding, I come to know your story like you come to know my story.
Absolutely.
And so, it like I say, it seems, because we're good at the image and appearance. It's okay. Life is good. And we paint our own pictures of what we hope in our heart that would eventually happen. And it doesn't. And somewhere, because, like I said, you're separated, but that had to start somewhere, and it sounds like it started 13 years ago.
It did.
Because the baby's 13.
true. So it did. And that's exactly.
And it just never, still together, still trying and what have you.
You would always try, you know. We even, I think at the time that we met, we were actually separated.
And I didn't know that in the beginning.
I know.
I did not know.
I know. We had physically separated. And it was already years of being emotionally separated, detached from each other. But we moved. The kids and I had moved, you know, here in this area, and was starting over. And then Phil had death in his family.
Right.
Which brought us back.
Brought you back together.
Exactly. Yeah. So brought us back together.
Yeah.
But we came back together and never really fixed and healed the reason that we were separated in the first place.
So many of us do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, with my ex, I mean, I was separated too, as you know. And my mother-in-law, her cancer came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew at that time we were headed to get divorced.
Yeah.
But because mama was sick, that wasn't the time, in my opinion, to be, hey, we need to go ahead and, you know, hear the papers or whatever it is. Yeah. That's not appropriate, because I'm not built that way anyway.
Exactly.
But she took priority over anything, and rightfully so. And that delayed, because we could never fix all the stuff, and we're separating. We gotta, you know, make sure mama's okay or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then her passing happened, and so for me it was like, okay, I need to be a little bit of a period before we just go into, you know, here we go. It's time to do this. You know, it's a lot going on. So I understand how an illness or death or what have you, it'll bring you back together, especially too when you're going through, when somebody loses a loved one, you're trying to reconsider. Well, maybe we need to make this work. You know, life is short.
Life is short.
You know. So, okay, well, let's do this. But the thing about life being short that I find to be true is that it's not only about the other person's life. It's about your life.
Absolutely.
And your life is shortened by unhappiness, by discord, by conflict, and most importantly, living false images.
Absolutely.
Which makes you live inauthentically.
Yes.
That will shorten your life quicker than anything.
Yes. And that is what had to happen.
Yeah.
For the ultimate separation.
For a separation.
To take place.
So is it a mutual thing where it's kind of like, you know what, this isn't working for either of us, And we don't need to allow our kids to see this discord. Yes. Can we figure out how to be a family outside of trying to be a couple?
And that's the conversation that has to happen. Okay. And that's the conversation.
That's where you guys are now?
And that's where we're at now. Okay. And, you know, we're doing that and having, you know, that conversation, which isn't easy either.
It's not. It's not. And that's what, for me and my ex right now, we had to define. Well, and I don't even want to speak for him because I always like to speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to define what our new family life was going to be because I know for a fact that no matter what happens in our life, we're always going to be connected. We have four kids. I mean, come on. We're going to be grandparents. We have weddings. We have graduations. And it was important to not make these kids feel like they needed to choose.
Exactly.
Now, I've been the primary. I've been around them, you know. But their dad needing to be a part of their life, too.
Absolutely.
And then watching how we deal with one another. And I knew that I needed to be a certain way in accepting to their father because he's a part of their life and they love him and they should,
exactly. You know.
And we are such a family. So I want to encourage people. I mean, we probably the craziest divorced couple now as you make that transition. Like I'm with his family visiting Granny on Mother's Day, you know, or, you know, we're talking about our daughter's about to graduate from Baylor. Okay, we need to do this. And we're co-parenting and we get along and, hey, we don't have to take separate cars. We ride together. You know, we're a group. We go and we do this. And that's important for the kids. So as you transition and you have that conversation, what's difficult is being unhappy. What's difficult is living a lie. Mm-hmm. That's difficult. But having that conversation to say, listen, we're going to always be a family. And we get to define what that family looks like or feels like.
Absolutely.
So that everybody can be happy. That's real talk.
It is. And that's exactly what, you know, has to happen. And I think that's what people need to realize. Mm-hmm. Living unauthentic to yourself. Mm-hmm. You're hurting. You're doing nothing but hurting yourself. Hurting the situation.
The children. Because the kids are smarter than us. So let's just be real.
You know what I'm saying? Right through it.
You ain't happy, girl.
Mom, I don't know when you're going to be happy.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, when you're going to decide to stop doing X, Y, Z or living your life unhappy.
Yeah.
And when your kids can tell you and sense it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
reality check.
Exactly, reality check.
I thought I had this all under cover here.
Yeah. The only person I'm fooling is myself.
It's myself.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what has to happen. You have to come into the realization of who you really are.
Yeah.
What is it that you want, you know, your life to be and look like?
Exactly.
And then, you know, forget about the fears. Forget about who's going to say what, what it's going to look like, whose feelings are going to be hurt.
Yeah,
it's going to be some hurtness, but
yeah,
you want to be happy.
And you can work through it. And I'm a living witness in the testimony. I swear, you know, I have people say, how do you get along with him? And, you know, and this could have happened in your relationship or da-da-da, whatever. And I'm like, because he's the father of my children. If I don't do anything else, I respect that.
Exactly.
And more importantly, I love my kids.
That's it.
I love my kids. And this is something I've said before. When I realized who I wanted to look like in God's eyes, I knew that I was more of Santana's sister in Christ than I would ever be as his wife. And that made me deal with him on a spiritual level versus a personal or you hurt me or you did X, Y, Z or you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like I had to look at him as this is God's child.
Exactly.
And God is expecting me to love him the way he loves him in a spiritual sense.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the romantic don't always work out. Mm-hmm. people are in your life for a season and for a reason.
Absolutely.
And if it was to bring these four kids into the world, then that's your reason and that's your season. Now you go ahead and you treat him accordingly, because I said to love your neighbors.
That's right.
And he's your neighbor too.
Exactly.
And I, in my mind, I'm serious. That made my mindset change totally. And that was more of my priority. And I know for a fact that's why, for my sake, we get along.
Good. Good.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It was bigger than me
and
in him. You know what I'm saying? It was bigger.
Yeah.
And when you get that down, and that he deserves to be happy just like I want to be happy.
Absolutely. And that's where I'm at, you know.
Yeah.
I want you to be happy as well.
Yeah.
You know, and if I can't provide you with that happiness, who am I to stay and to hurt you?
And to hurt you. Yeah.
You know?
Because you know, authentically, you know who you are now.
Exactly.
You can define it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So not only do I have to walk this way and be this way because I want to make myself happy, but who am I to block your happiness?
Mm-hmm. See, that's mature.
It is.
It's growth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And spiritual growth. And
spiritual
that takes
growth.
Time, too.
Yeah, that takes time.
That takes time.
Yeah, it's not an overnight, okay, this is about to happen.
Exactly.
It is a journey, but if the two people can understand that, and that's not, you know, some couples fight because they don't understand. It's bigger than you.
Exactly.
You know, stop taking it personally. Everything is not about you.
That's right.
It's about what they're dealing with that have nothing to do with you.
Nothing.
And if you can just move yourself, have an out-of-body experience, okay? Which, like I said, that's what I had to do. And then you can walk and tread a little bit more in the direction of compassion.
Exactly.
And kindness.
Exactly.
And wanting to have peace.
That's right. Wanting to have peace.
Yes.
Because when you decide I'm going to live in peace,
nobody getting ready to block it.
They're not about to block it. And you're not going to even want to block it.
Exactly.
Yourself.
Exactly.
You know, you want to move in a way that you're going to have peace and you're going to be peace.
Yeah.
You want people to have peace around you. That's where I'm at in life.
Oh, I'm telling you. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a very beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
And all the arguing, we haven't fixed anything arguing thus far. So why are we even
arguing? Why are you still doing it?
Exactly.
And the thing about it too, because you talked about the fear of, okay, you're starting on your own and what's going to happen? Or this person was more of the breadwinner than, you know, if you're working in a home. I had all of those fears. You know, and I'm like, but what I was fearing was not having the peace that I knew that I deserved, not being happy, coming to the peace of mind of like, if this is who this person is, who am I to say they can't be it?
Exactly.
I need to define what works for me and stop hoping and praying that they will take on my definitions. That's not working for them, obviously.
Exactly.
Or we wouldn't have conflict. I mean, goodness, girl. Okay. And so changing that mindset of, okay, yeah, it's going to be hard for you to start after, you know, being married for 22 years and, you know, separated for what have you. It's going to be hard, you know, him being a breadwinner and you working inside the home or just starting over in like parentheses, but to know who I am and to live authentically and to give my kids something where they can see this joy and this peace and this happiness, and you know, that is so worth it.
Absolutely.
It trumps the fear.
It does.
That you have in the beginning.
It does. That's the strength.
What we say earlier when you had to walk by faith and not by sight.
Absolutely.
And that's a decision, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're learning. So I'm hoping you guys get some good stuff.
Hopefully.
Okay. We're hoping because some people are going through this stuff. And
absolutely.
One of the reasons I started the podcast is because when people see Santana and I get along, I want them to know it wasn't easy in the beginning, but it became easier once I changed my mindset.
That's
once
it.
I established the definitions, once I decided this is the piece that I need in my life.
Absolutely. You know? And that's what you have to do once you become into your own.
Yeah. And when did you become into your own?
I'm still going. I'm still transforming into my own. I'm becoming more.
Yes.
Into my own. And I would say the last 2 years, I've, you know, gone through my transformation. And every year, it's a bigger revelation. Like, oh, I was supposed to be doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay, God, I see it, you know. Or I'll, you know, go through, for instance, real estate. You know, I go into my entrepreneurial.
Because you are an entrepreneur. I call you the mommy hustler.
I am the
because you are the mommy hustler, and you've been a real estate a licensed real estate agent, realtor for years.
Yes, for 9 years.
For 9 years, and you've done that, but you've also done a lot of other things. But I do know your passion and your design business because you are a personal stylist for men's custom clothing. Which is Dressed by Jen.
Yes.
And I've been to your events there, and you do great work.
Thank you.
How did you get into that?
I've always had a passion for fashion. I really have. And it's so funny because I come from a little country town in Odessa. And, you know, West Texas, it wasn't much style there. It wasn't much fashion. But I would always have my little magazines, and I wanted to dress like this, and I'm going to get this. And I would just put looks and styles together. Yes, for me and my friends. And I just, I mean, we had our own little look. You know, we were going to cut up some jeans here, throw some bleach there.
And I so would you were doing that a long
for
time.
For a long time. And even in college, that was one of my things. I'm going to make sure that everybody around me look good. You know, even if we got to borrow each other's clothes, you know, rent some clothes, rent some pieces.
But we're going to look good today.
We're going to look good today.
Fashionable.
We're going to have our style together, you know, and I felt like style should be how you feel.
Yeah, it is about how you feel.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I've always been very fashionable, into fashion. And I, 2016, I was able to meet a woman that was doing men's custom clothing for Jay Hilburn. And we met up on social media. I think it was LinkedIn at the time. And we ended up meeting up to have coffee, and she wanted to explain to me what Jay Hilburn was and, you know, how it worked. And I'm thinking in my head, like, wait a minute. I can take some fashion. I mean, some fabrics and put together custom looks. That's what I wanted to do my whole life.
Full circle moment. I wasn't bleaching jeans for nothing.
A tie-dyeing shirts and, you know, taking jean jackets, making vests.
You know,
so I'm like, oh, my God.
So your eyes just, they started to be lit up.
Exactly.
And you did that for a bit. But I know you went on your own.
I started with Jay Hilburn in 2016. I believe I was with Jay Hilburn for 2 years, and then I went on my own. And
Dressed by Jen.
Dressed by Jen. And so now I do, I customize clothing. So that's my specialty, custom clothing for men. Sometimes women. That's, you know, we're not going to exclude our
But what's, I mean, a great suit. What's it's nothing like a great suit.
There's nothing like a great suit. There's nothing like a great, having great pieces in your wardrobe that complement your size, your figure, you know, that just give you that power that when you put it on, you know.
And they can find you on Instagram, correct?
You can. You can find me on Instagram, and you can find me also on Facebook.
On Facebook. And is it under Dressed by Jen?
Jen the Consultant.
Jen the Consultant on Instagram.
On Instagram and Dressed by Jen
on
page
Facebook.
On Facebook.
This has been really good. I think it's important for women to be entrepreneurs and to find your passion because, like you said, fashion is your passion. And just as we transform from being a mom or being somebody's wife into finding our own authentic voice and, most importantly, our passions. And I think that we can better serve whomever in our life, being our children, being our partner. This doesn't just go, you know, for women, but it's also for men to be able to find what your passion is, what's your voice. Share those things and communicate, because you don't want to get into relationships where there's resentment because the connectivity is gone and the communication. We want y'all to be just as authentic as
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I'm looking forward to continue to watch you blossom and grow being as beautiful inside and out. Thank you for sitting down at the microphone with me.
This was awesome. Thank you for having me. Blessings. Love
blessings to you. God bless. Thank you so much for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast once again. I do hope that Jen's story of faith regarding her twins, her miracle twins, was an inspiration to you all. And also just, you know, the journey of growth in her marriage and finding her passion and her authentic voice. You know, we mentioned that life is short. So find the things that work for you. Define those things. And walk by faith and not by sight. Until the next podcast, God bless.